Danny Healy Ray got in touch about the money spent on the pets. And this is a discussion we're about to have on the programme. This is arising out of Michael McNamara. Deputy Michael McNamara's question to Leo Varadkar at Taoiseach about the €800,000 that was spent on pets and veterinary services for pets of Ukrainian refugees or beneficiaries of temporary protection as they are in this country. Danny Healy-Ray says this is what should be done to help with housing. There are 30 or so houses vacant in the Kerry County Council in Killarney. One of them is in Marion Terrace and has been vacant for 6 years. That money would bring 10 to 15 of those houses back into use, and that would mean an awful lot to 10 to 15 families, and it's badly needed too. Another listener says, why don't we build Noah's Ark together, Jerry, and bring them all over? A West Kerry lady suggests that if the Ukrainians want to bring their pets with them to Ireland, then they must expect to have to pay for that. She feels that people understand if you're transporting a pet anywhere, there's a cost involved, and it would be fair enough for the government to charge for costs incurred. Another listener says, my pets are family members. The thought of just having to abandon them would be absolutely heartbreaking, says this listener. Well, it's this subject that we're talking about next. The importance of pets for people arising out of that discussion from that Dáil question. With me on the line to talk about this, with Maurice Enright, who runs Sierra Husky Animal Rescue here in Kerry, and Paul Halpin, who's fundraising manager with Blue Cross Ireland. And Paul, if I can start with you on this one, can you explain first of all, because a listener got in touch with us with a problem in terms of being able to afford to get veterinary care for their pet, and a suggestion was made that Blue Cross could help out. What do you do, and who can qualify for your support?
Hi, Jerry. How are you? Good morning, and thanks for having us on. Well, we're the Irish Blue Cross. We're an animal welfare charity, and we provide low-cost veterinary care for people on certain means-tested benefits. So that's everyone from, say, the Widow's Allowance, Job Seeker's Allowance, the Blind Pension, and everything in between. We're based in Dublin. So we would have 10 mobile clinic locations that go out each night into the heart of the communities where people can bring their pets along. The mobile clinics, I suppose, would be like your GP, much like the humans, where people go along, our vets would assess them. We carry out vaccinations, microchippings, and some small procedures on the mobile clinics. And then if there's something more serious that the pet might need, for example, they might need an x-ray or an ultrasound, or they might need more surgery, they refer to our pet hospital here in Inchicore. So as I said, we provide low-cost veterinary care for people who basically can't afford it.
Okay. And look, from that point of view, it maybe relates to the discussion that we're having, Paul, about people fleeing a war zone and the importance of animals or people who can't afford it. There's two ways of looking at it, and I suppose it informs the debate. First is, pets aren't necessary. If you're in danger for your life, or if you can't afford to have a pet, then you need to prioritise your own situation or your own spending on yourself and your family rather than having one. Is that too cut and dried an attitude?
Well, to be honest with you, Jerry, just going back to the comments of one of your listeners sent in there, pets really are part of the family. I mean, taking a pet into the home, they're going to be with you for 15 years. And pets are amazing. They will give you companionship. They will give you love. They're also great for mental health. They're great for people for exercise as well. So if you've got a dog, you've got to bring them out twice a day for the walkies. And there's been studies done as well in terms of, like, pets can lower blood pressure, especially cats. And even in terms of kids as well, pets will teach kids responsibility. Like, you have to feed them, you have to wash them, you have to look after them. And they're great for kids with autism and ADHD as well. Now, having said that, I will also say that a pet is a huge responsibility. If you're bringing a pet into the home, you do have to realise it will take up a lot of your time. So it's a personal sacrifice you've got to make. And also as well, pets, you've got to realise the financial aspect of it as well, in terms of, like, there is veterinary bills as well. So you always have to take these things into consideration when you bring a pet into the home. But we've got clients that we would see, and especially our elderly clients, where a pet might be their only companion, and especially during COVID and the pandemic when everybody was locked up, the pets would be, especially our elderly clients, would be their only human touch and their only companionship through those long, lonely, dark days, you know. So pets are very much part of the family.
Yeah, it certainly is the case. Paul, stay with us online. Maurice, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Jerry.
Look, on the wider context, and a listener was taking me to task for saying that sort of flippantly suggesting €100,000 wasn't a lot of money, even though that's not the point I was making. I was saying in the wider context of the government budget and all that spent, €800,000 wouldn't make much of a change in terms of tackling the overall homeless situation. We have a TD this morning saying that, look, that could bring back into use 10 or 15 houses. Now, on the context, it's not as simple as that. If the government had an extra 800,000, it's not about money very often. It's about management and about resources and about using those resources effectively to get things back into and getting staffing. So without going back into that debate, what's your view on, and this isn't happening anymore, by the way, this has stopped. What's your view on that argument that, look, you're fleeing a war zone, you leave your animal behind, tough luck?
I couldn't agree with it, because on a daily basis, I see people who are elderly, vulnerable, you know, suffering from illness and disease and stuff. And, you know, in rural Ireland, you know, where we operate kind of mostly, we see it a lot more. And it can be devastating. And that's just from people that are living in rural Ireland that are under no stress or no threat, no life-threatening, you know, as in they're not going to be bombed or shot or anything like that, you know. And a lot of these people, it's the only thing they've managed to come away with, you know. They've nothing else, nothing, a bag of clothes, and they've tried their best for their animals, you know, which really, when you take responsibility, when you take an animal on, that is your responsibility, you know? I mean, if we're talking about money, there's 95 million given to race greyhounds and horse racing every year, you know, in this country. So, I mean, the 800,000 is peanuts, really, compared to that. Whether you agree with horse racing or whether you agree with greyhounds is another thing, but that's the kind of money we're talking about for those industries, you know? There's 3.7 million given to rescues throughout Ireland, which is over 98 organizations. We're not one of them, but you know, that's kind of the case. Now, what I've seen in the last year more than anything else is the lack of empathy towards animals. You know, we use animals on a daily basis, therapy dogs, military dogs, guide dogs, detection dogs, police dogs, you name it, search and rescue. These are important jobs that only dogs can do, but yet we treat dogs and animals in general with like this air of contempt, you know. Once they're too expensive or once they're too old, we just get rid of them. And it's heartbreaking. And like this last year has just drained me personally, because obviously we're only a small organization and we're getting 5 to 6 to 7 phone calls every day, you know, about certain situations. Some are very genuine. Some are just absolute carelessness, you know, people still not researching, people still not putting an effort in, people unable to say no to their kids. Just say no, you know, if you can't afford it, as the Blue Cross was saying there, you know, it comes with a large, it comes with a large responsibility, you know, from finances to giving the dog what it needs. You need to understand your breed of dog, first of all, before you do anything else. And you need to understand what that dog needs. I've had several phone calls already this week alone. One yesterday alone, I had to turn away 8 dogs. I just physically don't have the room. I don't have the volunteers. And we certainly don't have the cash to kind of take on that number in one day, you know.
So that's the a wider question of the pressure that rescues are under. Paul, if I can ask you, on the context of Ukraine, Blue Cross UK actually set up a fund to help Ukrainian animals that had been left behind because people had to leave in a hurry or their owners were killed in the conflict, and that was widely supported in the United Kingdom. So there are different ways, I suppose, of dealing with this.
Well, there is different ways of doing it, and I suppose that, I'll have to say we're a different entity to the Blue Cross in the UK. But just to kind of echo the point that Husky Rescue were making there, I mean, look, we get over 17,000 visitations a year for our services, and we are actually oversubscribed at the moment, and we actually have stopped taking on new clients. We've temporarily suspended taking on new clients. And we do have a waiting list, etc. But the demand for our services has never been higher. And I think that's a bit of a double whammy, what's happened over the last couple of years. Like during COVID, a lot of people thought, oh, let's bring a pet into the house without thinking of the ramifications, as the gentleman there was saying, that like, you know, what type of breed are you bringing into the house? you know, you have to feed them, you have to wash them, you have to pay for the vet bills. And then the recent cost of living crisis as well is seen, like a lot of rescues around Ireland are overflowing now with people giving up their pets. And equally with ourselves as well, we've never seen the demand for our services. So we've had to temporarily suspend taking on new clients. So I will say pets are absolutely amazing. They do wonders for your mental health and your physical health as well. But always, always think before you bring in a pet. And if you can, adopt and don't shop.
Yeah, and that is the lesson and the answer out of it. Paul, do you think, is there a reason why you're under pressure in terms of the numbers and why Morris is under pressure in terms of the request to take animals? Have we more pets than ever in this country, or what do you think is the reason behind it?
Well, I think for ourselves and Morris, like, we're both charitable organisations, so we both only have finite amount of resources available to us. That's just the reality of it. And as I said, like a lot of people brought pets into the home during COVID, and then once everything opened up again, I mean, it was fine when everybody was locked up at home, given the care and attention that they needed. But then suddenly when everything opened up, people said, well, I have to go back into the office now. I have to go back into the work. I mightn't necessarily have the time to dedicate that to the pet. And then, of course, after that, the cost of living crisis happened as well. So then that's why a lot of rescues around Ireland are seen are overflowing at the moment. Now, we're not a rescue, we're an animal welfare veterinary charity, so Morris would probably be a better place to talk about that. But we've just seen the demand for our services go through the roof. And as I said, we've only got a finite amount of resources. We've only got a certain amount of pair of hands with our vets and nurses who work around the clock to see as many pets as they can and give pets long and healthy lives. So, as I said, it's kind of like a double whammy what happened in the last couple of years here in Ireland, you know?
Yeah, and that's feeding into it. A listener says, I got my dog 13 years ago for mental health reasons. She's choking now half the night, but I can't afford to pay to get the meds or anything. I tried to pay two vets locally with installments, but they wouldn't accept this. I'm on disability payment. I can't bring the dog to Dublin to Blue Cross as I don't drive. What can I do? Not easy to resolve that particular problem, Paul.
No, so as I said, we're based in Dublin. Well, yeah. 40 kilometre radius around Dublin, and look, we'd love to be everywhere in Ireland and every town and city in Ireland. But at the moment, as I said, we've only got a finite amount of resources. I will say, though, check with your vet, or make a couple of phone calls to your local vet. Some vets will do payment plans. Now, not all of them. I can't speak for individual veterinary practices, but there are some out there who will do a payment plan, so it's a matter of calling around, you know.
Yeah, it certainly is. Okay, Morris, final point to you in relation to this and the wider question of it. As the person said there, they got their animal for mental health reasons 13 years ago, you know, able to care for them for that many years. I guess the point is, I suppose, look, notwithstanding what was happening in Ukraine and the fallout from that, and there's a wider discussion, I suppose, what happens to animals in war zones, but cats, dogs, other pets, they can be a lifeline to people.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I see it on a daily basis, you know, now I see both sides of it, obviously. And like I said, you know, the empathy, we seem to have lost an awful lot of empathy. We're just using animals as a almost gratification, you know. We'll take something on and we'll have a great fun with it for a little while, and then it grows up and it starts digging the garden because we don't understand its behaviours and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm seeing so much of that at the moment. It's beyond anything I could have ever comprehended 10 years ago, you know, when I started. You know, you would have thought that we'd have got better, but we've actually regressed. I don't know how many years we've regressed, but we've regressed decades, you know. Some are still very good, but what I'm seeing is just terrible. But then on the other side of it, yeah, I mean, I can't advocate for animals enough because, you know, there was a time when I had a back injury and I couldn't do anything, and it was literally my dogs that got me through it, you know. I had to move on. I had to get up. I had to get, you know, walk the dog. I had to feed it. I had to care for it. You know, it gave me stimulation, and it gave me a reason to move on in life, you know, and not blame my injuries for it. But, you know, and I see that an awful lot, and I see the devastation when people lose a dog. They're inconsolable, you know. And then on the other hand, we see it. Somebody, you know, I picked up a dog the other night. They literally threw it out the door and walked off after 3 years of having this dog, you know. Not so much as a word. So, okay. You know, there's an argument for both sides. But, you know, just please, I'm just begging people now at the moment, to do their research. You know, there's Ring a Rescue, ask them what their opinion is. There's no, gun held to your head. You don't have to adopt. You don't have to, you know, if you want to go and buy a certain breed, that's fine. But Ring a Rescue and they will advise you on whether it's the right dog for your situation.